Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Let's begin in verse number 40 of Luke 22. Hallelujah. And when he was at the place, talking about Jesus here, understand that when he was at the place, always make sure that you're at the place that God intends for you to be at. Oh, hallelujah. When he was at the place, he said unto them, here's what he said to his disciples. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Okay? He said, I want you to pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, understand this. I got to set a lot of groundwork this morning, just some foundational stuff so that you can get the revelation of what Jesus Christ is saying through this word. Jesus is getting ready to move into the Garden of Gethsemane. So he tells his disciples, pray that you enter not into temptation. Next verse. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. Watch this. He kneeled down and he prayed. Here's what this prayer saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Oh, the song says, you just sung it with your hands raised. I want to drink from the cup that's in your hand. I believe after this morning, you'll think twice before you sing that song again with a carnal mind. If thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. 43 says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. 44. And being in agony, he prayed more on and earnestly. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Here's what he said to them. Why sleep ye? I believe that's what he's saying to the church today. Why are you still asleep? Rise and pray. He said it one more time. He started off at verse 40. Pray that you enter not into temptation. After he went and set the example and prayed, he comes back and says the same thing to them. Pray lest you enter into temptation. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. This morning, I want to talk to you. You can be seated. I want to talk to you about the cup, the stretch, and the victory. Cup, the stretch, and the victory. I was traveling this week over to Springfield on Thursday and praying, and God began to speak to me concerning all of this. For the last couple of weeks, especially, your pastor has been dealing with the Passover season and the crucifixion and talking about the blood. And so I was focusing and dwelling on all of that as I was driving to Springfield, and God began to speak to me concerning this. And within 48 hours of next couple of days there, God just continued to pour into my spirit concerning this revelation concerning the cup. But I want you to understand that Jesus talked about that when he got to the place, every one of us this morning, tomorrow morning when you get up, make sure you are at the place that God intends for you to be. Because the place represents the plan of God for your life. The place represents your destiny. It represents your purpose. The Bible says in Psalm 37 in verse 23 that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Your steps are ordered by God. That's why he said, while you was in your mama's womb, I knew you. Amen. When you came out of your mama's womb, amen. Are you hearing your preacher? Every one of us this morning, we have an opportunity. Every one of us today, there are always two cups. There's a cup of the flesh and a cup of the spirit. Are you hearing your preacher? Depending on which one you drink from will depend on where your destiny will end up at. Depending on what cup you drink from will determine if the plan of God can be fulfilled in your life or not. Because Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you. Now, he says, I've got plans to prosper you. I got plans to do you no harm. I got plans to give you an expected end. I've got plans to give you an end of victory and not defeat. Hallelujah. That's his plan. Not everybody gets that plan. Not everybody will follow that plan because not everybody is willing to do even what some of us have done and sing the song. I want to drink from the cup. God himself to talk to us about the children of Israel. And here's what he said. He said, with their mouth, they praise me. They worship me. But their heart is far from me. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all's acting this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, stay with the man of God. John chapter 16. John 16, 33. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In who? Come on, in Jesus Christ you'll have peace. Come on. Not in alcohol and drugs. Not in the cup of the flesh. Amen. Not in money. Are you hearing your preacher? No. I said in Jesus Christ. He said in me you'll have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. Now, what he was saying to you and I was this. In this old world that we're living in, there's going to be much tribulation come at us. Amen. The word tribulation there simply means great distress. There's going to be situations come in our walk with God that we don't understand. Listen to your preacher. When you drink from the cup of Jesus Christ, listen to me now. That cup has peace in it, but that cup also will have tribulation in it. This morning I want you to grab a hold of what God is trying to say to each and every one of us, because I believe that some of you, after you leave here today, you're going to know why you've been going through hell. When the day's over with, you're going to know why that all hell has broke loose in your life. Oh. Because the cup. Why did Jesus, listen to me. Oh, put those words back on that screen. I want to drink from the cup. Put that on me for me, would you please? Listen to me. I want to sit at your feet. Now I want you to listen to me. I'm not trying to be hard. I'm just trying to get you to understand something here. Because I believe that every one of us need to realize where we are, what it cost Jesus Christ to pay the price that he paid. Amen. His own disciples couldn't even sit at his feet and stay awake. Jesus said, I know what that cup represents. That cup represents my destiny. That cup represents my purpose that I was born and came on this earth. This cup represents the plan of God for my life. But God, if you be willing, let this cup pass from me. Because when he looked in the cup, he seen the rejection of his own coming against him. He seen the betrayal of those that he loved. He seen the separation that it would bring by following through with what the cup represents. He's seen in the cup of the afflictions. He's seen the rejections. He's seen the bitterness. He's seen the attacks of hell that would come against him. He's seen all of that. And he said, if it be your will, let that cup pass. Oh, hallelujah. The cup, when he looked at it, he seen all the physical pain that he was about to have to endure. But this was his purpose. This was the plan of God for his life. Now look at your neighbor and say, I've got a cup. Everybody hold your cup up. Just hold it up. Just hold your hand up. I got a cup. The same cup that Jesus drank from is the same cup I'll drink from. The same cup. The same cup. In your cup, there's going to be much rejection. And in your cup, there's going to be tribulation. And in your cup, there's going to be affliction. And in your cup, there's going to be turmoil. And in your cup, there's going to be betrayals. Come on. You're going to have Judas who's going to kiss you on the cheek. Come on, somebody. Yeah, you're going to have rejection. Because after all of this, watch me, after all what went through, after Jesus talked to Peter right there at the garden and said, pray that you enter not into temptation. It wasn't but just a few hours later, Peter said, I don't know who you're talking about when they said, wasn't you with Jesus? I don't even know him. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody ever had somebody close to you and the next day they don't even know who you are? It's in your cup. Come on. That's it. The physical suffering is in your cup. Glory be to God. The attacks of hell is in your cup. Glory. But Jesus said, not my will. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Glory. It will take you, watch this, it will take you to deny your will to drink from this cup. You will deny your will. You've got to deny it. Listen to your preacher. Oh, hallelujah. I need somebody to pray. Listen to me now. I'm about to give you something to help you. When Jesus, before he went and picked up the cup, In verse 40 of Luke 22, he said, pray that you enter not into temptation. The Bible says Jesus went away from them and prayed. Then he said, if you be willing, this cup can go. But not my will, but thy will. What was Jesus saying when he said, pray that you enter not into temptation? He said, let me tell you something, disciples. You'll never drink of the cup without prayer, because prayer is what will give you the strength to deny your flesh. It will deny your will, because Jesus prayed and then he said, not my will. Because listen to your preacher. He said, what you're going to be facing in life, you're going to be tempted to throw in the towel. You're going to be tempted to give up. You're going to be tempted to give out. You're going to be tempted to charge God foolishly. You're going to be tempted to give up on God, quit church, backslide, go straight to hell. But Jesus said, if you will pray, you can endure the temptation of the cup. You can drink from it, but you've got to pray. You've got to pray. Because this cup is full of attacks of hell. This cup, your cup. Look at your neighbor and say, your cup. Your cup contains, let me put it real simple to you, it contains all the mental, the physical, and the spiritual suffering of a believer. It contains all the mental, all the physical, and all the spiritual sufferings of a believer. Are y'all hearing your preacher? The Bible says in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver them out of them all. And where we are right now, and what Pastor's trying to tell you, is that we are trying to drink of a cup, partake of a cup, and we don't have the strength to endure the process because we do not pray. Luke 18:1 says, I wish that men would always pray and faint not. The reason that you want to give up, the reason that when all hell hits you and you respond in the wrong attitude with the wrong spirit is because we have not spent time in prayer. How did Jesus endure the cross? How did he endure the shame? How did Jesus keep his mouth shut? Listen to your preacher. He did not drink from the cup of the flesh. He drank from the cup of the spirit. And he prayed. And so when all hell broke loose, he had the strength to stand. Listen to your preacher. And not be tempted to lash back out. Not be tempted to cast stones back at somebody. Listen to your preacher. Not to judge somebody. Not to charge God foolishly. And say, where you at, God? God, I thought you loved me. God, I've been going to church. Where you at? No. Because of his relationship with God in prayer, he was able to stand. And when you know all you know to do, just stand. God spoke this to my spirit. He said, in the church, we've taught the people about the promises of God, but we forgot to teach them about the process attached to the promise. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 20. His cup, his sufferings, his rejections, his pain, you will have to drink from. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. This is what she says. Worshiping him, desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what will thou? And she said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you're asking. What he says here, are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? Be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, we are able. And he said unto them, you shall drink indeed of my cup. You shall drink indeed of my cup. Be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on the right hand and on the left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them from whom it is prepared of my Father. He said, hey, I can't do what you're asking. That's up to God. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If you're going to partake and make it to the kingdom, you're going to have to drink my cup. If you're going to make it to the throne, if you're going to make it to heaven, you're going to have to know and understand I'm going to have to drink from that cup. Hallelujah. This cup is not a bunch of sweet tea in it. Amen. We got people in churches today, they're trying to find a preacher that will add a little bit of sugar to the cup. Come on, add some sugar to it. Well, you ain't going to add no sugar. At least give me some sweet and low. But I come to tell you something, that if you'll drink of this cup, if you'll stay in prayer, he said, if you stay in prayer, if you've been in me, you can have peace. Though I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Listen to your preacher. When all hell breaks loose, if I've been in relationship with Jesus Christ, if I spent my time in prayer, if I spent my time in my dedication with him, when all hell hits my life, comes against my family, comes against my health, comes against my finances, comes against my marriage, comes against my children. Oh, I can stand in the peace of God knowing that God's going to work everything out. For we know that all things work together for the good to those that love the Lord and that are called according to his purpose. But you're not going to know if you haven't spent time in prayer. God's going to work it out. I know. Jesus said, if this cup could pass, let it pass. Everybody listen to me. Let it pass. Nevertheless, God spoke to me so strong. Oh, come on, somebody. I was probably 30 miles outside of Springfield. And God said, tell them Sunday morning, they better get a nevertheless. I said, they better get a nevertheless. I don't have a dime to change, but nevertheless, I got a God that is able. I said, the doctor says one thing, but nevertheless, my Bible says I shall live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. All hell is breaking loose, but nevertheless, I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I said, nevertheless, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Nevertheless, nevertheless, somebody shout, nevertheless. They betrayed me. They rejected me. They lied on me. Nevertheless, they told me they would do it, but they won't stand with me. Nevertheless, though none go with me, still I will follow. And that nevertheless comes out of prayer. Does it come out of a pity party or a gossip party. Come down to prayer. Nevertheless. No, I said, nevertheless. If God be for me, who could be against me? Nevertheless. Nevertheless. I said, Job had a nevertheless. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I said, Job had a nevertheless. His wife said, curse God and die. He said, you're talking like a foolish woman. He said, I know how all hell's broke loose and I've lost everything I got. But nevertheless, I said, nevertheless, God is able. God is able. Come on, somebody. The woman that lost her son went to the servant of Elijah. He said, everything all right. She said, yeah, my boy's back there dead, but it is well. It is well. Come on, somebody. I said, it is well. I said, I don't have much, but it is well. I got me a nevertheless. I said, I got me a nevertheless. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 8. Give me Romans chapter 8 and give me about verse number 30 or so. We'll start there. Well, Paul, nevertheless. Look up and say, nevertheless. You will always be tempted to go to your will. My will is to back off. My will is to murmur and complain. My will is to try to figure this mess out. My will is try to strike back. You hit me, I'm going to hit you back. You don't deserve my love. Come on, somebody. You hurt me, I'm not forgiving you. No, that's my will. But not my will. Nevertheless, not my will. But your will be done. Why? Because I'm drinking from the cup of the Spirit of God. Give me 31. What shall we say to these things? What things? Things are trying to tempt you. Things are trying to tempt you to turn your back on God. Things are trying to steal your faith and tempt you to throw in the towel and give up and quit church and quit serving God. And things trying to tempt you to strike back and get even. Come on now. Don't think that Jesus was helpless, because the Bible says he could have called 10,000 angels. Don't think that he couldn't fight on his own behalf. He could have made those men pay for what they were doing. But instead he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't even know what they're doing. He had a nevertheless. Come on, I said he had a nevertheless. You hurt me once, you hurt me twice, but nevertheless, I'm going to wrap my arms around you. Nevertheless, come on, somebody. Nevertheless, I'm going to help you again. Come on now. God be for us, who can be against us? 32. He that spared not his own son delivered him up from us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? 33, keep moving it. Who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died? Yea, rather, that he is risen again? Who is even at the right hand of God? What he's making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nevertheless, shall tribulation, shall distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, what is this? Because I drink of that cup. For thy sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. To back up, nobody wants to talk about the slaughterhouse. Come on, somebody. Nobody wants to talk about the slaughterhouse. Everybody wants to talk about the prosperity house. But you'll never go to the prosperity house without going to the slaughterhouse. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Look at your neighbor and say, I got a nevertheless. Nevertheless, I am persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Church, we got to get a nevertheless. You can't drink of this cup and not have a nevertheless. You can't drink from the cup and not have a nevertheless. Because you're going to be tempted. Tempted. Come on, somebody. You're going to be tempted to get in the flesh. You're going to be tempted. Amen. To strike back. I got so much revelation. It's just bubbling out of me. Why did Jesus rebuke Peter? Watch me. Peter didn't pray. But the first thing Peter done was cut the soldier's ear off. Got in the flesh. And Jesus rebuked him. Put the ear back on. We don't fight this way. Pray. If you'll pray, come on. If you'll pray, you can turn the other cheek. No, it's not comfortable. Think it was comfortable for Jesus to say, here, pull the beard out on this side. And, okay, here, hit this one too. Wasn't comfortable. But God had a plan. And for him to fulfill his plan, he had to drink what was in his cup. And some of you are sitting here today wondering why I had to go through what I've been going through. But it was in your cup. Was it comfortable? No. But I'm still standing. I got peace from God. I'm on my way to heaven. And my affliction may help somebody else in their affliction. It's the plan of God. Because your troubles and your trials is what makes you who you are. Glory. I want to drink from the cup. Do you? Do you? In your cup is hurt. But Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll give you strength in the midst of the trial. I can't make it. Yes, you can, because it's in your cup that Jesus gave you. I said, every one of us has got a cup. And you've got to be willing to say, I'm going to be at the place where I'm supposed to be. And if I'm at that place, if he's guiding my steps, if I'm spending my time with him, who's going to separate me? Nothing. How can I lean not to my own understanding? Because he's already gave me understanding in prayer. How can I do it? I know in advance that this cup, listen, there's healing in the cup. But how can you be healed if you're never sick? There's prosperity in the cup, but how can you be prosperous if you've never been poor? How can you have a testimony without a test? How can you have a message without a mess? I'm preaching better than you're acting. No, I said I'm preaching better than you're acting. This cup sometimes looks unfair. This cup tastes bitter, this cup. If I don't spend time in prayer, the devil will tempt me to throw the cup down. But I got to drink from the cup that is in his hand. Because I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. Through Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things. In Mark 14, another account of this same story, but just a little different wording. When Jesus said, pray that you enter not into temptation, he went one phrase further. Mark recorded one little phrase more. He said, because your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. Prayer is what gives me the power to dominate, to crucify, to control my flesh. Not walking around holding a Bible. Not coming to church. Prayer builds my spirit man. My spirit and my flesh is always in war. They are pulling against one another. Hallelujah. And if I don't prepare my spirit man for the battle, in the war, my flesh will tempt me, show me an easier way. Show me greener grass on the other side. Show me that we don't have to go through all of this. Hallelujah. But prayer strengthens my spirit man. So no longer is my flesh man doing the talking. My spirit man is doing the talking. The Holy Ghost is telling me you can make it. The Holy Ghost is saying you've got power. You've got authority. The Holy Ghost says you're anointed. The Holy Ghost says it is written and brings all those things back to my remembrance. Jesus knew in his cup, Beck, in his cup was his plan. And to be obedient to the Father, he said, not my will, your will be done. And God asked me the question about 12:30 in the morning on Saturday morning, early Saturday morning. As I was praying and seeking God, God said to me on this phrase right here, he said, in your cup is your purpose, in your cup is my plan for your life. There are some rough roads in that plan. But if you pray, I'm going to go before you and make the crooked way straight. In your cup, I may ask of you things that seem unfair, that seems hard. I'm going to ask you some things in that cup. You're going to have to carry a load that others may not have to carry. You might have to go through some circumstances that others don't go through. But your obedience is what brings the victory. And God asked me a question. And I want to ask you the same question. He said to me, what is it that I've asked you to do concerning your purpose and you haven't done it yet? What is it that God has asked you to do and you don't have a nevertheless? You don't have a not my will. Has God asked you to forgive them? And you haven't done it? Has God asked you to help that person and you haven't helped? Has God asked you to pray for your family and you're not praying? Has God asked you to help your church, work in your church, be faithful to your church, and you're not doing it? The plan of God. What is God asking you to do? And you're not done it. That's a hard one there. Hallelujah. No, I said hallelujah. Always remember this. The cup can only be endured through prayer. The cup. There's no other way. I'm not trying to be highly spiritual. I'm just being very honest with you. If we don't pray, we cannot endure what this cup contains. Cannot do it. It's impossible to love those that don't love you. It's impossible to bless your enemies and pray for those that despitefully use you without prayer. Now watch this. In verse 44 of Luke 22, Jesus in the garden. Am I helping anybody this morning? I'm sure I'm helping myself. I'm sure I'm glad I got to preach this morning because I've been up. I only got a couple hours sleep. This has been on me so heavy. I don't believe I've ever had a message hit me like this one has. Being in agony. The word agony there means severe pain, a severe struggle, hard turmoil, much distress. In the garden, he done said to God, not my will, your will. I'm going to drink of this cup. His willingness to move on forward in God, to be obedient, caused much distress, caused a severe struggle with his flesh, caused severe pain. It caused him to tense so much that blood vessels begin to burst. And I get sick of hearing preachers acting as though it don't cost you nothing to serve God. Salvation is free, but the walk ain't. That walk will cost you friends, it'll cost you family members. It'll cost you sleep. It'll cost you years on your life. Come on, somebody. It'll cost you disappointments. It'll cost you so much stress. You'll be judged wrongly. You may lose everything. You'll be talked about, misunderstood, rejected, betrayed. You'll have bitter moments. Your physical body will come under attacks. Your marriage will be hit. Your children will be hit. The weapon. Oh, I got to preach. The weapon. He didn't say there would not be one. He just said the weapon would not prosper. He said the weapon will not stop you from going forward. No weapon formed against you. He said, there's going to be a weapon, but it's formed against you, But Curtis True, that weapon from hell, if you'll spend time in prayer with me, if you'll drink of the cup, if you'll walk in obedience, no matter what the devil shoots at you, it will not stop you from moving forward. And even though Jesus sweat the blood, it didn't stop him from moving forward. The Bible says that he was in much agony. But listen, look here. He prayed more earnestly. Now, we've all been there, so we might as well get our halos off our heads. Where we've been in agony of tribulation coming against us, and we've thrown in the towel. We've cursed God. We have charged God foolishly. We have cursed others. We have lost our faith. We have talked like a foolish person. Come on, somebody. We have said this don't work. We have said, what's the use? I'm not serving God. I've served God for 10 years. Look what's going on. God don't even love me. God don't even hear my prayers. If this is all there is to it, if I've got to do this, forget it. Come on. Why me, Lord? Whatever do. Go to church 3 times a week, pay my tithes, can't even pay my light bill now. Why? But you know what he said? Instead of acting crazy, he took his prayer to another level. He prayed more earnestly. He said, I seen that cup. I prayed. Then I told him I'm going to take that cup. But for me to get through this one, I'm going to have to spend a little more time in prayer. I'm going to have to raise my prayer life. I'm going to have to go from 15 minutes a day to 30 minutes a day. I'm going to have to maybe add a little bit of fasting on this one. Come on, somebody. The Bible says he prayed more earnestly. Listen, the word earnestly there means to stretch out. Everybody in the church, look at your neighbor and say, man, give me some room. Take both your hands and just stretch out. Come on, stretch as far as you can stretch. Stretch. Don't pull your back out, but just stretch. Listen, he went from kneeling down to laying prostrate, prayed more earnestly. I'm here to tell you, look up at me, look at me. Before the enemy could stretch him this way, he had to stretch this way. You're going to have to stretch in private before the adversary can stretch you in public. You're going to have to stretch, come on somebody, in prayer. Are you hearing me? I said you're going to have to stretch in prayer because the devil wants to stretch you. He wants to make a mockery of you. He wants you to give up. Stretch. Stretch out for me. Come on. Now, when you're stretched out, I want to listen to me. I heard you, God. I heard you. While you're stretched out, pray right now. Whatever that child's name is, call that situation out. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, lift up your voice. Pray for that one that's sick. Pray for your finances. Pray for your healing. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for your family, your marriage. Pray. My God, pray. Stretched out. All hell is breaking loose. I'm going to drink from the cup, but I'm going to pray more earnestly. Devil, I'm not giving up. Devil, I'm not giving in. Before you stretch me in public, I'm going to stretch before God in private. Pray. Rakashataya. Whatever your need is, pray. Pray, church, pray, pray. I don't hear you praying. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Somebody intercede. Somebody travail. Pray.